Mercedes-Benz Berwick's online showroom has service demonstrator vehicles at outstanding prices. mbberwick.com.au. Here's four-time Premiership Hawk, Jordan Lewis.
Lewis from 40, low, hard goal.
We've been talking about cars and how we need a car man, and then we just realised that here he is.
He's here.
He's here, Jordan Lewis. Welcome, Jordy.
My knowledge is very basic.
No, it's not. No, it's not. We've been testing it during the break. There's nothing you don't know about cars.
We might do a car segment with you. Yeah, we could do that.
Well, George does his wine of the week. When Louis comes in here, you can do your car.
You're in the car
week.
Industry. You're in there.
Yeah.
You got a little something for us?
Family connection.
There must be something on the lot there somewhere.
Well, Tim just asked me for a certain car that is a certain price.
I'll tell you what he asked for. A 2021 Mercedes G-Wagon. $370,000.
$370,000. And he wanted to test drive it for 6 months.
Well, if you're going to spend that sort of money on a car, you want to know that you're going to like it, don't you?
You want to make sure.
There's
nothing unreasonable about that.
I might get you a Prius or something.
6 months, I'll let you drive. We might actually, because people love talking about cars. We don't know anything about cars.
What time slot would you anchor it into?
I know the Ramble at 6 would be perfect. I don't know whether we could get you in here at 6 o'clock.
I've got a name for a little show. Up on the Hoist with Jordan.
No, stupid name.
Let's it's not actually. The first car that I bought for the dealership that I work for now, I bought it privately. I went down to Geelong, bought the car privately and did all my due diligence, all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't until we came back to the yard and we put it up on the hoist that we worked out that it was a lemon. I lost about $3,000 or $4,000 on the first car that I bought.
Everybody needs to learn that lesson.
Right, I'm going to work on this because people love talking about cars. But you're here for a footy and to look ahead to round 19, which comes around, doesn't it? So they're doing a good job. The season's going to... One stage this week, we asked the question whether or not we would get through, but we will. It would appear the AFL Players Association have said they are committed to it, which is great. The AFL, we know, are committed to it, so the players will get there. But... let's ask you, and at the risk of putting people off, because we've talked about Hawthorn a lot this week, but just your quick thoughts on Sammy Mitchell yesterday with Jared.
I thought it was really well done on both sides. Jared asking the direct and hard questions that everybody wanted answered, to be honest. And it's been bubbling away in the background for the last 2 weeks without Sam being able to have his say, without Alistair Clarkson going into it in too much depth. And I know privately Sam Mitchell would have been upset about the commentary around how everything unfolded. So it was nice to come out yesterday and get his side of the story out. And it seemed to me the way that he answered the questions and the way that he articulated everything, that he was quite honest in that interview. He was quite direct with his answers. And I think that's what was needed. I feel for anyone that would have stepped into that position that wasn't as confident or as articulate as Sam, because it would have been a tough interview to be around. So we get a little bit of clarity. I suppose the interest with me and the unfortunate part is that Caroline Wilson and the stuff that's leaking from that football club. So there's clearly information coming out. That is clear. And it has been a football club for a long period of time, certainly in my time there, that it was watertight.
Right.
The unfortunate part now, whether it's true or untrue, the stuff that's coming out, there's stuff that's coming out that for me is an issue.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And look, now that he's spoken, it's there. He doesn't need to talk again. We don't, the media will choose to address what they want to address, but we'll just sit back now and watch and see it all unfold. I think that'll be interesting. So, the only thing I will say, though, is I listened to all that that interview, and people have the question now whether it'll work or whether it won't, the transitional part. I love this talk about, he goes, I'm not really interested in what's happening 6 minutes from now, 6 hours from now, 6 days from now, or even 6 months. He said, that's not my brief. My brief is to take this footy club over from Alistair at the end of 2022. Therefore, I'm working 5 years. I'm looking beyond. People are worrying about the now. How's it going to work now? How's it going to work next year? Sam Mitchell said, that's not me. I'm looking long term. I'm looking at draft strategy and list management and how's it going to look? Because I'll take over and then there'll be probably a transitional period where the players he's dealing with now, the development players, they'll come in. He said, but I've got to look beyond that. So I think that's one thing we should bear in mind. The Clarkson will coach for the now. And he will do that. And he did say, Sam will be the mainstay in list and recruiting and all that sort of stuff. That's how I think it can work. Now, I could very well be wrong. I can see it working that Mitchell's got an eye to beyond 2022 and Clarkson will stay focused on what's happening now.
Yeah, but it would be, as time goes on, I think from Sam's part, very hard to resist the urge to have an impact. So that's why it has to be, his role at Box Hill is primarily for next season. He will have input in clearly the longer term decisions, and there will be a transition period because there will be players at that football club right now that, for one of a better reason, might not want to play for Sam Mitchell. And that happens at football clubs. So there will be a transition period. But I think right now it seems to be that the decision's been made. The issue isn't with Alistair and Sam Mitchell. I think the bigger issue is with Clarkson and the Hawthorn board.
Yeah, well, they'll sort that out. They're big boys and he'll be there or he won't. And some people look smart or they look pretty stupid.
Yep. Jordan Lewis is with us. He'll be here until 8:30 this morning. Each and every week we ask you a question about certain positions on the ladder. Who's the best starting
midfield
quartet at the midfield, all that sort of stuff. Now, this week the question is, who's the most improved player in the competition?
So when I was sitting down doing this last night, I decided to write down every club and a player from every club. And literally when I wrote down Adelaide, bang, someone came up. When I wrote down Brisbane, bang, someone came up. So every club, every supporter of every club would have an interest to watch this year, just seeing players develop. So you can go through them all. You know, Brisbane with Bailey, Adelaide with Keys, McDonald for Melbourne, Bailey Dale for Western Bulldogs. But the one that I've settled on, the one that I think people thought would have taken a little bit longer to develop purely because of the position they play, and the size of the player and the area of the ground that they play is Sean Darcy. I just think the jumps that he's made from last year to this year, to take a midfield in the last 4 to 6 weeks to arguably the best midfield in the competition in terms of clearances, forward half footy, time in forward half, stoppage, all that sort of stuff, hits to advantage. He is arguably the number one ruckman in the competition.
Everybody's going to look at their own team and they're going to say, they're coming through already on the text. They're going to say, what about this play? For me, having watched this club closely, I don't think anyone in the competition has taken their football from a level last year to the level they're playing at this year greater than Darcy Parish.
Yep.
The improvement in him as a player, going from a player that plays in the midfield to being an elite midfielder in the competition, is extraordinary.
Send him in, 0433981116. Send in your most improved player in the competition.
And this is what kept me up at night last night, Tim. And fortunately, I was up last night because Freddie was up, and that was just how it was.
Well, when Freddie's up, we're all up, mate.
These are just the decisions that you wrestle with. So you can even add Hind into the Essendon conversation as well. And that's the beauty of it. Hawthorn with Giath, Harry Mackay for Carlton. That's the exciting part, is when you start a new season, whether it be a young player coming in, whether it be a player that's played in a different position or an experienced player regaining form, they are the shining lights within an AFL season, within a team. But to be honest, it was either Darcy or Parrish that was going to get the nod. And I just, sometimes you've got to give the interstate clubs a little bit of love.
I think I'm all for that. Sean Darcy, I'm with Jordan.
And he's a Western District boy. So.
Big Hodel.
Right. He's the bloke that wouldn't go out and buy his dad a new tractor after he got the bag, isn't he?
Send him through. Send through your nominations for the most important.
Who's yours,
player.
Gary? You got?
No, I like Sean Darcy. That's a great recommendation.
Your man, you went very early in the piece with your man at the pre-season before nobody even heard of him.
Big Sammy Draper. He may win it next year. I think he's got improvement in him still. So
it was hard to believe when he was in the middle for the Gatorade show that was his first win and he'd only played 10 or 11 games.
Yeah. Well, they love him down there. Paddy Dow is coming through here.
Yeah, he's
now.
Coming.
He's coming hard.
Yep.
But
there.
He's, hopefully, let's hope he gets there. CJ's been nominated, Parrish by far. Jaden Laverde is a great nomination.
Yep.
There's a player I thought
Hickey
may
for
have
Sydney.
Been gone. Tom Hickey.
Yes.
Yep.
Harrison Petty.
Yep.
At Melbourne, who got an opportunity when Tomlinson went down.
Yep.
So keep sending them through. It's great.
Atkins from Geelong.
Yes. Gone back and found a slot, hasn't he? Cody Waitman, he's not so much improvement. He's just developing. He's getting opportunity. He's always going to be a talented kid, that kid. And he'll be playing in the big game. Is it the game of the year, Melbourne and Bulldogs, this 1v2 this weekend?
I think so. I think because of what's happened with Melbourne and people starting to doubt them. So now they've got another challenge. What happened in round 11 with these two sides? And unfortunately,
can you remind everyone what happened? Like I can't even think. I know that the Demons won, but what can you?
I think it? from a match committee point of view, there was always the question mark on who tags. Do you tag and who do you tag? Do you tag Bontempelli tag Liberatore? Yes. And after the game, after tagging Harms, tagging Liberatore, it was that they didn't expect it. We didn't deal with it. Liberatore didn't have a fantastic game, only the four clearances, but they're all centre bounce clearances. So nothing around the ground where he does his damage. So that, so they would have gone to work on that. The Western Bulldogs just struggled to move the ball. Mm. They still had 52 inside 50, so they were able to get it in there quite frequently. But because of the pace of ball movement, May and Lever, I always struggle to say Lever and May, down back just had an absolute field day. And to the point where Western Bulldogs would take risks trying to switch the ball and Melbourne were able to capitalise on, on top of that. So they would have learnt a lot out of – so that would be, I think, the only game that they would have been reviewing this week, that Western Bulldogs would be looking at that game. So what do we see when they come up against each other on Saturday night, knowing that they will play each other at some point in the final? So to Luke Beveridge, do they hold back on
a couple
of things that they want to implement to see if it works, or do they go, no, let's just take the chance in finals, let's play that card and let's see if it works.
What say you then? Do you show your hand or not?
I would say after that game, if they had two or three things to be working on, I would show two of the three.
Yeah, right.
Can you be unconventional? Gary spoke about this during the week, about the way that his theory about Melbourne and why they've struggled against bottom sides, because they've gone after them in a different way and they've tried to eliminate the effectiveness of May and Lever and played small and been really aggressive with their ground-level players in the forward line. Could the Bulldogs do something similar to that? Because they're going to want to play Norton. Jamari Ugle-Hagan is still going to play. Bruce is going to play. So they don't necessarily line up like that.
No, they don't. And even another point with that game, quite often you would have seen the Western Bulldogs forwards far too high up the ground. So that would allow the Melbourne defenders to sag back. I would imagine they would play their forwards a lot deeper, a lot more accountable, like we saw the Hawthorn forwards on the weekend. I just think there's always a challenge within seasons. And when you're at the top of the ladder, people try and pick apart what is happening when you lose a game of football. The thing that always stands up, the thing that I always look back on how do these teams perform against the best teams in the competition? And for me, Melbourne stacks up.
Yeah.
So you can look at all the statistics and paint a picture on Melbourne and why they might not win the grand final this year. But they have played unbelievably well against top sides in high-pressure situations. Think about Port Adelaide over there. That was a game where they were doubted. And they rebounded and answered all the questions in that game against a side that we think might play in finals, deep in finals.
So as it was suggested yesterday, you'd rather have the issue of beating the top teams and not the bottom as opposed to not being able.
Which is Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide's issue. Jordan Lewis is here with us. We'll take a break, come back with some more questions ahead of round 19.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards, no annual fees, amazing rewards, and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us, Jordan Lewis, for the next 5 or 6 minutes on round 19. If you've got a question, you can fire it away. Tuke Miller was another one that's come through.
Yes. Yeah.
And we love Tuke. I mean, we've given him as much love as we possibly can.
Just on your conversation before about the face of Channel 7, Luke Hodge just texted me. Is he a chance?
Well, Brisbane, the connection.
He lives in Brisbane now, Channel 7 boy.
Very, very strong. I'm just looking at
his... wanted to ask the boss. He just said, just ask Tim for me and just put in a good word.
Well, we're talking television bombshells, you may not have been awake when Tim dropped this bomb. I don't think he knew he dropped it. Sometimes between 6 and 6.30, he just does stuff that he's not fully awake yet. But he dropped Nathan Buckley to Fox this morning.
Can you hear me, Buck?
I thought you were aware of it, Gary. That's why I said
we haven't been involved in any meeting. I'm a junior.
Would you expect to be involved in
any
meeting?
No, I wouldn't be.
I know somebody that wasn't that expected to be.
Absolutely news to me.
Well,
and you all
what
of
does
a sudden,
that say about your position at
well,
Fox?
Well, I might be over with you. next
Fox
year.
Used to be watertight. Now we're leaking.
No, well, this Please. Is. I think the Channel
don't
Wisp,
even no, don't even surmise what may or may not have
Channel
happened.
Channel Wisp
Gary,
had
please,
a good crack please. At him and missed out. So now you could knock me over with a feather. Rowan Marshall, did you have any issues with the way that played out? Did he let them down at all?
I think when you're making decisions like this, and I'm just picturing myself in one of those leadership meetings, you've got to take a few things out. You've got to take the importance of him to the side out. You've got to take the COVID situation out and look at where he was at what time of the week and make a decision, whether that was the right or wrong decision.
So was at the rugby, am I right? You was at the rugby and then went and had a beer at the precinct.
Which was a Tuesday, if I'm right. So Tuesday, following that, there's a Saturday game, which is a four-day break. It's not necessarily if you were drinking or not, but what players do tend to look at is how long you're on your feet for, which might sound a little bit silly, but are you on your feet for too long? Are you around a crowd that might be unpredictable because of the time of being at that pub and what had gone on before that? So I think with those things in mind, I thought it was a decision and a place that he didn't need to be. And I think he's in quarantine. Maybe if he wasn't in quarantine, he might have been penalised in another way.
Right, let's kind of whip through a couple of these quick ones here. Can the Tigers beat the Cats without Dusty on Sunday at the MCG?
I don't think so. I think the Cats are now starting to make their charge towards September. Fantastic win from Richmond last week. High on emotion. Jack obviously had a major contribution to the side, but I don't think they can beat the Cats.
Suns? As I said to Tim, Tim's a seller. I'm a bit of a buyer on the
Suns.
Yeah, I'm a buyer.
No, I'm a buyer. No,
I thought you were selling.
No. They were playing poorly there for a period of time, but their last 3 weeks
we haven't
been
seen
really
them
good.
Play this well at the back end of a season ever. Mm. Really?
Mm. No, they
so now they're getting it together.
I thought you were a seller.
No.
They play the Lions, who are a little bit beaten up. Lockie Neal off the track with a shoulder, expected to play. Danger game.
I thought after the St Kilda game, when Brisbane played St Kilda, they looked tired for me in that game. Mm. So then they come out the following week and lose again. This is absolutely a danger game for Brisbane to remain in the hunt.
That'd be a nasty one. What about the Battle of the Mackays?
Yeah, this is fascinating to see how it is if they in fact do match up on each other. We hope they do. Mm. God, I've got twin boys at home, and I know how much they fight as 3 year olds. So I can only imagine on a stage where it's televised, how competitive they will be.
They will play. They have to play on each other. I can imagine. I can't imagine. There's no other matchup.
No, it'll fall. It has to fall that
so
way.
So we put calls into both because we wanted to have a chat with both of them. Now maybe this. I don't want to break. Look at the producer looking at me. North Melbourne are a fantastic footy club with the media. They've said nah, no Ben.
Maybe Ben doesn't want to do it, though. Maybe he doesn't want to do it.
Not talk to you and I. Talk to
no, you're right. How can you refuse that?
You're right. It has to happen. And it will be a fascinating watch.
Right. And we need your tip for Melbourne and the Bulldogs. A lot of people are sending through. Tell Jordan to give us a tip.
I think Melbourne. Yeah, I think these are the games that you look back on the season and that they've been able to perform.
And you've got a car of the week for us before you go?
It's test trial. We're thinking of doing a car segment. We're going to trial and audition you. Car of the week, please, Geordie.
Car of the week. Why not go the G-Wagon, hey?
there's one for our audience. Yeah. 370,000.
I've just taken delivery of a new Toyota Prado.
Wow!
Wow!
So
they're a fine automobile.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are. They are sort of around the 60 to 70.
Okay,
potentially
well,
80
people,
grand
families
mark.
So that's, can get there for that.
You can option that up. But
why did you buy a Prado? Apart from the fact that it's in the family, the Toyota business.
I think the more that I'm working in the industry and the cars that seem to be reliable and resale, that brand stacks up.
Right.
It does.
Okay. It's diplomatically answered and nicely done.
Very nice.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll talk again.
Thanks, boys.
Have a good weekend. Jordan Lewis here, always for Mercedes-Benz. Oh, thought he might have mentioned them. I did. He mentioned the G-Wagon. Mercedes-Benz Berwick.